Welcome to spring training.
Well, it's still winter, John.
Not
we had a snowstorm here yesterday, for crying out loud. No, not in Florida and not in Arizona,
yeah.
Which is the genius of putting spring training there. So then you just have to deal with, like, all the meth heads and bath salt consumers.
But there is something special about this day. It is the rebirth, the renewal, the excitement, the anticipation, the hope. Everything is restored.
Sounds like you're announcing your run for presidency in 2020.
I might as well throw my hat in the ring.
Right? Like, why not? There's like, what, 30 people already in?
Right. Right.
This is the thing about these things. I think that all these people are actually running for vice president of the United States. Like, I think that none of these people really think they have a chance for presidency, but you figure with all the, plus you're like a presidential nominee goes on your resume,
right?
Or mm-hmm. presidential hopeful or candidate, right?
Right, right. Opens a lot of doors.
Opens a lot of doors. Like, look at this person. Look at this senator. Oh, and also former presidential candidate.
Right.
Oh, that's like an extra $20,000 when you're speaking to the, you know, International Monetary Fund in Switzerland.
Right. And it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, we never heard of Jeffrey Smith James before. Look here. He was a presidential nominee.
Right.
You know, it's like, whoa.
Yeah. It's exciting times. Yeah. Anyway, I'm thinking of throwing my hat in the ring. But the thing is, I may have already been nominated. I don't know.
You know, we'll find out.
We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. So this is episode 94 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Jose Mesa episode.
Joe Table.
Yes. So we're 94. We got six more or five more before we run out of numbers.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, there was never a 100 on the ball field before.
Ah, but Adam Ottavino is going to wear zero.
So we can start all over.
Well, we'll just say that we tilted the machine, right?
Right.
Like
so
the old days
be,
with the
okay,
video
yeah,
game
so
machines.
So he could be 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That'll work.
Yeah, and then we'll go from there. We'll figure out what we're going to do 1, 2, 3, going back around.
Yeah.
We will just call it season 2.
There we go.
We're already in season 3 of Donald Trump is president.
Right.
And I'm telling you, the writers for this show would never get a job in Hollywood. It's just too crazy.
It's like, that's a little too far-fetched for us. Sorry.
Like, they're just like, now no one would believe that could happen in a fantasy land, TV show, sci-fi dystopia. But like, no, it just happens. And I don't want to disparage Donald Trump. I'm talking about everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's being wackadoos. And frankly, yeah. I think the writing's a little over the top, and I've been fast-forwarding through some of it.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have turned it off, so I'm trying to avoid it as much as possible.
Well, there's that too. But also, what are your streaming services down in Mexico? Like, there's nothing.
There's nothing now. I do everything on the interwebs. That's it for me. So, politics aside, you know, finally one of the big three off the board. Finally, we've been waiting for this for months, years actually, with JT Realmuto. He is off the board and on his way to Philadelphia.
Yeah, we just, I think we just posted something like last week where it was like, ooh, there's rumors of where he's going on the site. And it was like, the Phillies were not on the list.
No.
It was like the Dodgers and the Braves and the, like a lot of teams make sense. And to be honest with you, the Phillies make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They have a few more prospects than you would think the Phillies have. They don't have a ton, but Sixto Sanchez is one of the guys they gave up. That's like the centerpiece. And then Jorge Alfaro is their catcher they sent back, which is basically who they replaced with Realmuto. So they went with like maybe the guy who's like the 12th best catcher or 14th best catcher in the league and replace him with the best catcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you do when you're trying to win.
Right.
So now you just got to go out and get Machado and Craig Kimbrel and you're all set.
Yeah, if they can do that, which they can. They're spending silly money. They don't have to spend any money yet for Realmuto. That won't come.
Yeah, it was like $6 million or something like
that,
right?
It's nothing. Chump change.
Yeah.
So yeah, that finally, and I think it was a good take back for the Marlins. They're slowly but surely restocking, and
yeah,
it may take them. They're still 3 years minimum away from being.
And in 3 years, Alfaro could be a good catcher. I mean, he could be a top 5-6 catcher. He's got good on base percentage skills. His defense is solid. You know, he's just young. So and catchers progress slower with everything just because they're catchers. You know, it's one of the reasons why when there's a catcher has a hot bat.
And Mattingly made a comment, too, about how we upgraded in arm strength. And I was like, what? And actually, there are statistics that show Alfaro was number one in the league in arm strength, and Realmuto was number two. So, wow, they got an upgrade there. But that's not
And gonna... I think that's why the Phillies seemed like they were going to stick with Alfaro, was because, like, okay, so offensively he has a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, like, that's all you need is a guy who can throw out runners and who can, you know, do some good pitch framing and work well with pitchers. So right. Now, of course, they replace that and they've got all of the above with Realmuto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's finally. So
finally.
The other big news out of Vegas was that there were eyes on the crowd, spotted some of the Giants brass in one of the hotels there. And yes, indeed, the Giants were talking with Bryce Harper.
Now, I saw that story too, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if the guy was just in Vegas, like, looking to hit strip clubs and, like, gamble away his fortune, and then, like, got busted by a fan who's like, no, I'm here to meet with Bryce Harper.
Right.
That's the real reason I'm here. Right. I'm exploring new stadium possibilities.
Yeah, that's a built-in excuse.
I'm just saying, whenever I go to Vegas next and I get in trouble with the law or with, you know, shady folk or whatever, and it becomes like a media item, I'm just going to say I'm there to visit with Bryce Harper and see if I can get him on my team.
Right. I'm courting Bryce.
Yeah.
Right. That might work. No, that's awesome. So where do you think? I'm kind of leaning now towards the West Coast. He's from Vegas. His wife's from San Diego. San Diego seems like a perfect fit for that. The Giants have a definite need, and they're using the, well, when we brought Barry Bonds here, we were a sub-500 team, then we won 100 games the next season. And that's kind of their mentality there. So there could be some appeal there, but they're so old.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. I would Bryce Harper is not Barry Bonds. I will say this about, as a Dodger fan, I love it.
Go.
I love it because then it's like, yeah, go to San Francisco, be stuck on, like, basically the worst team in the division, the National League West. That's not only the worst team in the division, but has the worst future prospects.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, yeah, just rock that 75-win season. Do it.
Right. Well, it makes more sense for him to go to the Padres. That would make more sense than as far as the team structure, because it's an emerging team as opposed to what would be a rebuilding team with the Giants starting next year, not this year. They sign him and they're like, okay, now we're going to start rebuilding by trading away assets. And so he loses a year going to the Giants.
I mean, he loses a couple years if he goes to the Giants. Like, the Giants are basically a really, really expensive version of the Marlins right now.
Mm-hmm.
Except I kind of like the Marlins minor league system better than the Giants.
The Giants have nothing.
The Marlins actually have some really nice farm team players. Now, the Giants have a couple of good ones.
Mm-hmm.
The Marco Luciano, I think his name is. I'm excited about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
17, but he's 17. Like, he's not going to be up for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's such a long way to go. And look, I don't wish anybody bad except for the Giants and the Yankees.
And there's no more, progress, no more new updates and rumors about Bryce or Manny. So we're kind of like where we were back in November.
I mean, this is my guess. I was thinking about this last night as I was drifting off to sleep. I think that they have basically the offers that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're just trying to figure out, like, how to best save face and how to maximize the average annual values and seeing if they can, well, what if we, hey, White Sox, what if we made it 8 years, but there's an opt-out after five?
Mm-hmm.
See, now the White Sox should not do any opt-outs before 5 years.
Right.
Because the whole point of bringing in someone like that is that 2 or 3 years from now, you've got yourself a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole, my whole thesis that I've been saying here is like, well, no, even these teams that aren't in contention should sign these guys. I heard Justin Verlander went on a rant the other day about how these teams should spend money on these free agents. Like, yeah, they should, but it's not like the players are accepting the offers, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
last time I checked, like, $175 million was spending money.
Yeah, that's spending money. So is it enough money or is it, you know, and it, again, I don't feel this is collusion by the owners, but it is collusive.
Mm-hmm.
It has a shades of collusion, but it certainly wouldn't be held to the same standard as like sending out an email to everyone saying, hey, let's not spend money on these guys. But everyone's just being safer, cautious.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between trying to do something nefarious. There's that word again.
Nefarious.
Versus trying to be fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that does make much more sense. But Manny has said he's waiting for the biggest offer. He'll go to the team that gives him the best financial deal. So that, you know, he really doesn't care about winning. There's not a lot of other, you know, statistics that he's looking at.
Well, he's already played in the World Series, and clearly that was not an enjoyable experience for him. Nor for his fans.
Right. So he's looking for something different. Yeah. So if he goes to Chicago, so I think it's going to come down to Chicago. The whole Yankee thing is kind of wasted noise. That's not happening. They're all in on Troy Tulowitzki. That's okay. So I think it's coming down to the Phillies, the White Sox, and the Padres are the three for Manny. For Bryce is still in, I think, regardless of the signings that the Dodgers have made. I still think there's a chance if he gets a short-term deal with big dollars that he would go there. He just, you know, that's a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, and maybe the Dodgers are just slow playing this. You know, like, technically, do they need him? No. Do they have a replacement for him? Sorta. They have that. They have Alex Verdugo. Could I'm sure do a fine job, but I really, like, he belongs on the Dodgers. He belongs on the Cubs, in my opinion. Like, why would you want to play, and no offense to other cities and other teams, like, but, like, he doesn't belong on the Pirates. You know, the Pirates are building their team a specific way.
Right.
And, like, this guy is a superstar. And, like, whether or not you like him, he's a superstar. He should be. And should I think that's, I think more so than Machado. I think Machado is a superstar player.
Right. He's not a marketing machine, for sure.
He's not a marketing machine, and I think that's why you're seeing, like, well, Machado doesn't have draft pick compensation, but the prices are all about the same because Harper does have the added star power.
Do you think their two agents are talking, saying, "What would you get?"
Well, I mean, technically, isn't that illegal? Isn't that?
Is it?
My understanding, and I could be wrong, and feel free to write the complaint department. My understanding is that the reason why owners aren't allowed to collude is because they came up with the rule that players aren't allowed to collude.
Oh, okay.
Because they were pissed off about those two Dodger pitchers. And I could be remembering this all wrong. But my understanding, wasn't it Drysdale and Koufax? Mm-hmm. They held out together again for the Dodgers. And so they were like, well, we don't want that. We don't want them, the players, setting the price. And then they made it so that you couldn't discuss. And then, it's backfired on the owners, you know, for hundreds of millions of dollars. So my understanding is that they can't collude that way.
The players directly, aren't allowed. But indirectly, there might be some channels.
Yeah, some back channels. I feel like, there's always the back channel stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But there's that same thing with the owners in this current sort of collusion thing. Like, you might not say, like, I'm offering $175 million to the White Sox, but you leak it to the media, then the media puts it out there, and then the Padres know that the White Sox are looking at $175 million.
Right.
So is that coordinated effort? No, but at the same time, yes.
It seems weird saying Brad Ausmus as the manager of the Angels, but he has reported that sometime in May they're expecting for Shohei Ohtani to come back as a batter.
Now, John, sometimes it's a Freudian slip and sometimes it's bang on, but did you really mean to call him Brad Asmus, because Brad Asmus. I am sad I have never thought of that about him. Asmus. First of all, I love the name because he's not a very good manager. I'm not sure why the Angels signed him. Maybe because he's like, flexible with whatever the general manager wants to do. Second of all, Asmus, like, it's kind of like Christmas, but for some other thing. Like, there's so many things about this that I love. Anyway, congratulations, John. You've now renamed Brad Asmus to Brad Asmus.
Sorry, Brad.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Ohtani looks like he's going to play this year, of course, but maybe a month or two. I mean, I don't know. If I had him in a fantasy baseball league, first of all, I won't have him in any single season leagues. And if I was thinking about him for a keeper league, The thing with Ohtani is that he's this injury that he's recovering from, like, they're also trying to get him back up to being able to pitch, I guess, in 2020. So it says sometime in May he's going to be back. So that might mean more like June. Like, if you're looking at it from a fantasy baseball perspective, just stay away from him. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, someone's going to get him in the late rounds, and then he's going to get a bunch of whatever. But from like June, maybe. But the real catch in for the Angels, I think, is Justin Bour. I think that's the guy who's going to get most of the at bats. He's a lefty. The right field fence got moved in or lowered or whatever. It's a little easier to hit a home run that way. Put your money on Justin Bour. Save your money for Ohtani for 2020. That's what I say.
Sounds like a plan. Hopefully Brad Asmus is listening.
Merry Asmus, John.
Merry Asmus.
Or is it Happy Asmus? I don't know. If you're in England, it's Happy Asmus.
Right. So Jorge Posada, I'm having trouble with names today. What the heck?
Especially Jorge, like, you're in Mexico, dude.
Should be just fluid, right? Jorge Posada is reuniting with Derek Jeter at the Marlins. He's got a front office position or a special assistant type of thing going on.
Yeah, basically, like, Jeter wants to hang out with his buddy. Sounds good. That's what I do.
So Andy Pettitte's next,
right?
John,
if I was running a baseball team, I would give you a job there. I want you to know that.
Oh, I appreciate that. I would do the same. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, they're trying to double the attendance by just increasing the staff.
So they'll have the core four will be there working before long.
Yes.
Just to get a few extra 100 people in the crowd.
I mean, to be fair, like, a lot of people retire from New York.
That's true.
And go to Florida. So, like, this makes total sense. It's almost like a metaphor for U.S. life.
I was a season ticket holder for the Marlins for 15, 20 years, whatever it was, and 15 years, 16 years. And they, whenever they played a New York team or the Chicago Cubs, the place was, I'd say, 80% the visiting team fans. Yeah. 80%. Big crowd showed up.
Yeah.
Not fun if you're a fan.
Yeah.
My son was young at one of the games when that happened. And he got agitated. He was getting angry at one of the fans because he was going nuts for the Yankees. And he turned to me and he said, "Dad, I'm getting very, very angry." He was about like 10 or 11 years old at the time.
Nice.
It was pretty funny.
That was when he was a Florida boy before he was a Florida man.
That's correct.
Well, so you didn't have to worry too much about his him doing something totally Florida crazy.
Right, Florida crazy.
He was like, he's just a Florida boy. He's going to be okay.
Speaking of crazy, this is a complete side note. Did you read the story about the woman that was basically eating her husband?
But not in the sexual way? Like,
no.
He
was wheelchair bound. So this woman in Texas is, her husband's in a wheelchair, and a neighbor spotted her carving flesh off of his skin and eating it. And when the authorities went in, they were horrified to see that he had lost his limbs. His limbs were gone. He was still alive, and she was basically living off of her husband. And she said that when the insurance companies didn't pay for his injuries, she had to, feed herself and stay alive in some way. So she basically was slowly but surely eating her husband.
I mean, this is kind of like perfect for Valentine's Day, because this is like a romantic comedy type thing.
Happy
two
Valentine's
become
Day.
One, right?
Two become one.
Two hearts beat as one. They become one flesh.
Right.
Right? Isn't that what they say? You become one flesh when you're... Right. And she's like, yeah, you know what? And you put a little salt on there, and it's a delicious treat.
There you go. Okay. The Nationals have decided to ban backpacks from the ballpark, and they're saying for safety reasons, because I guess people are, what, bringing in bombs or beating each other over the head with their backpacks? I'm not quite sure.
Well, it's the safety of the vendor's profits. That's really what's being affected here, is what people do is they take a hoagie and they stick it in their backpack and they bring it in, and that's the food they eat at the stadium. I've done it, John. You've probably done it.
Numerous times.
Yeah, this is what people do. But so now they're saying no backpacks. Like, okay, great. So I have to pay $12 for a hot dog. Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Right.
Look, I understand people not being allowed to bring in, like, bottles.
Right. Now,
but let them bring in their food. You know, like, check the bag. Make sure there's nothing hard in it and nothing sharp. That's
right.
This is basically how I date. This is great dating advice. Just make sure there's nothing hard
or sharp
and nothing
in the
sharp.
That's their strategy, though, for trying to pay Bryce Harper.
They I thought you were going to say more about dating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, for sure. Exactly. Yeah. You increase the revenues with the vendors. Mm-hmm. Boom, you got more money for Bryce Harper.
Right. Yeah, that's a good plan. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Major League Baseball makes a bid for regional sports networks being sold by Disney. That's interesting.
So, yeah, so
Major League Baseball is in the game now for broadcasting rights?
And isn't that actually kind of genius?
I think it's brilliant. Control
but, you
it
know,
all.
In film, like Paramount can do production and distribution, but they can't do projection.
Mm-hmm.
You can do two of the three, but you're not allowed to do all three because it creates a monopoly, right?
Right.
That's been decided in this country, like, 70 years ago, they figured it out. They're like, oh, no, you guys are actually screwing everybody over and keeping all the profits for yourself, and you wind up screwing over people down the line because you're getting profits over here and saying they're not profits and all this stuff. So anyway, so baseball is in the position where it can actually own the game, the copyright, and then sell it to itself, right? You remember this is the deal, the Turner deal, right, with the Braves? You remember, like, that's why all the Braves games were on TBS, on the Turner broadcast system, because Ted Turner owned the Braves, and so he sold the rights to the games to TBS,
right?
Pocketed that coin, but also gave him a sweet, sweet deal, right? Which made it so that the Braves became a nationwide team because TBS was one of the first nationwide cable outlets.
Right.
Anyway, it's all you know, just rich people making money. And again, I have no problem with everyone making all the money. I just want the players to get some of it. Especially,
that would be a nice thing.
Especially the younger guys, and especially, I wish they would fix this minor league thing. When you start looking at the numbers, it's so crazy how little money some of them make. Yeah. And granted, some of them make a lot of money in AAA. That's absolutely enough money for a human being. But it's like, it's baseball. There's millions and billions. I won't say trillions, but over a few years, yes, it'll be trillions. There's so much money. Share it around. I'm not like socialism here. I'm not like, this is a Green New Deal for baseball. We're like, oh, we're going to get rid of airplanes and everyone gets a living wage even if they don't feel like working and all the brilliant socialism stuff that ends with people in the gulag. What I'm talking about here is just let's give them a little bit more money for playing baseball. That's all.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree.
Yeah. Jed Rigney's Green New Deal for baseball.
There you go. Everybody
Double the
wins.
Minor league minimum. That's it. Just start with that.
Yeah.
You know how little that money is? It's so little.
Well, I actually think that
it's one Matt Kemp contract.
But I think we've talked about this in dribs and drabs over the last several months, is that we're seeing an economic shift. And there's going to be less money for the old guys, more money for the new guys, even if it plays out over the next 3 to 5 years. That's happening because the younger stars are ready to play when they're 20, 21, 22 years old versus waiting until they're 24, 25.
Yeah.
So why not get the very best of them from 21 through 30, 32 probably at the top end, and you get 10 years plus versus signing them to a contract when they're 27 that you're going to get 4 to 5 years best and you're signing them for 10. That doesn't make sense.
I agree completely. You know that you say that, it makes me think, I wonder how many players we missed out on because they didn't get called up.
Yeah.
When they were 21, 22, like how many great years of X player, Like, let's say Brady Anderson, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know when Brady Anderson came up, and not that he was particularly, like, the greatest player, but maybe he was a much better player if he had come up 2 years earlier.
Right, right.
But the rules and the unwritten rules about how they have to develop and all that was so... And it was all very, like, feel, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like this. And, you know, he's got this look. But now you can sort of, like, staticize almost everything.
Everything, yeah. So that's where the eye test failed probably some players.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
and some that probably never made it to the major leagues that deserved to.
Oh, imagine a guy's, like, hot, you know, I don't want to say hot S word, but maybe hot poop, right? We'll say hot poop at 22. And he should have been called up, and he was going to get called up when he's 24, but then he blows out his elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't get to play in the majors at all. Doesn't get to accrue the service time. Doesn't get to, oh, man, now I'm getting sad.
Yeah, let's move on.
Not really.
Zach Britton.
Yes!
So this is like...
Big news.
Big, big news. He's decided to go back to... I don't know why he switched from the K to the H in the first place, but he's going back to the I guess what's on his birth certificate is the K?
Right.
Is it Zachary or just he's Zach? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know. The only thing I know is that it was his, that the now spelling is the way his actually, why he was hiding in shame.
From
and,
the K?
And making it C-H. I don't know. Like maybe, you know, maybe it was like he was embarrassed to be associated with Zach from Saved by the Bell.
Maybe. You know? I think he just got tired of being called Zach.
I used to know a guy named Zach, and his nickname was we called him Zeech.
Zeech, okay.
Which doesn't really make any sense other than just, you know.
Yeah, nicknames.
Yeah.
You know,
I can share that great story with everyone.
All right. So we talked a little bit about the injured list being named, or the disabled list being renamed to the injured list. And apparently it was because some little known group said that they were offended by it, or they filed something with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, they filed a complaint, you know. And look, I honestly don't care if you change the name, but it's like, what are we going to say now? We say on the DL in baseball. We've been on the DL in baseball for 100 years. The game's 150 years old, John.
And now we have to change.
Of course,
it.
Back then it was the dysentery list.
Right.
Oh, yeah, plague list. Old Grove Bannister can't play this week. He's on the dysentery list.
Yeah, so now it's the IL.
Yeah, the IL.
That's
which means ill, right?
Right.
Now you're making fun of people who have illnesses.
Right, so they're going to be... We're going to change it to the unable to perform list. Well, then that'll, you know, challenge people who are...
Disabled to perform?
Well, then the unable to perform would probably get... you know, erectile dysfunction groups would be
right.
Yeah, they'd be all over that.
Yeah. Oh, he's getting the Viagra this week.
Right. Right. He's on the
performance enhancing drug.
He's on the V list.
He's on the PEDs. That's Cialis. Does that count as performance enhancing drugs?
Probably could.
It enhances performance.
It
That's
does.
What they say.
Yeah.
Hey, it happens to everybody.
They didn't
John.
Say it happened only on the diamond, did they?
That's right.
It could be all around.
That's right.
So big, big news in the world of...
Can I say one thing about the Zach Britton thing I just realized?
Go ahead.
I think the reason why he changed it to Z-A-C-K is because his last name is Britton and Z-A-C-H is the British spelling. Oh, John. We do have fun.
We do. Let's move on to some football baseball news.
Yeah.
The big announcement, Kyler Murray. I got his name right, finally, after the third time.
You did it!
Yeah, complete. He has decided that he's all in on football.
Yes.
And that he's dedicating his life in his workouts to a football career. No ifs, ands, or buts. So the A's are...
Wearing platform shoes to get him up over the 5'9".
Right, right. Yeah, he'll be listed at 6.
Has.
You know, that's just...
They're just really tall cleats.
Right, yeah. He's got he has the mutters on all the time. So he's given back a big chunk of change of money
that
he got from the A's. The A's
and the A's do not get their draft pick back next year.
No compensation.
Which would be the case if they didn't sign him.
But they retain the rights.
But they retain the rights.
So if by any chance the wheels come off for Kyler... And he does not perform, He always has a chance to go back to baseball.
Well, I'll tell you what. Charlie Ward will tell you that switching from college football to pro football is no big deal. And Tim Tebow will second that notion.
Right.
You just go out there, and it's just the same game.
Right.
I don't think that Kyler Murray is a professional-level quarterback. I think he's an exciting young player, and I think he'll be able to run around, and I think that has some value. But I think he's just too short. I think linemen are 6 foot, 6 inches tall, and you're going to see a lot of passes just off of linemen's helmets.
Okay.
I'm telling you, like, this is just what happens in the NFL. I'm not saying a quarterback needs to be 6'5". I'm not right. saying that.
That was the knock
but
against
it
Russell
needs
Wilson.
Needs to be
though.
5'11", 6 feet. Like it, yeah, but Russell Wilson, I'm going to break it to you. Russell Wilson's actually not that good a quarterback. I hate to break it to you. Just not that good a quarterback.
Okay. Statistically.
I'm just saying.
He is.
But he, okay. Not that good.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I think statistics would beg to differ over the last
You know what?
Seasons.
Let's talk about, yeah, but let's just talk about statistics. Let's talk about other players that have done better than him on another podcast that's not this one about baseball.
Okay.
My point is, I don't think Kyler Murray is just like, oh, I'm 2 inches shorter than Russell Wilson. Don't worry about it. I got this. Like 2 inches in that level, like we're basically talking about like an Oompa Loompa.
What about Drew Brees?
Drew Brees is 5'11". He's listed as 6 feet, but I think we all know that, you know.
Most people would say that Drew Brees is closer to 5'9 than he is 5'11".
But let's look at the statistics. The statistics say he's 6 feet.
Right. No. Yeah. And that's what Kyler Murray's probably going to say, too, eventually.
Kyler Murray's not going to say he's 6 feet tall. No one's going to believe that.
I still think
Tom
he will
Cruise
be drafted.
Is standing next to him looking down. Like, that's the thing.
He will be drafted within the top 15.
I think it's a wasted pick, and I do hope he goes to the Marlins. As a Patriots fan,
I love the idea to the Dolphins.
You know what? He might as well just go to the Marlins.
That's right. Hey, I hate the Dolphins with a passion, and I really hope he goes there.
Yeah, I would be very happy if he wound up there. That is an absolute waste of a first round pick, and I wonder though, does the NFL really think that this guy is gonna? I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of hype around him, and it feels like one of those weird hype things where it's like, oh, no, he fell to 22. You remember Aaron Rodgers fell to 22.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or late teens. And that was a pick where I was like, well, this guy's one of a great quarterback. Why is he falling? Why right. is he falling? And then he goes to the Packers. Like, how do the Packers luck into Aaron Rodgers that mm-hmm. late? Because people were just like, oh, but it's the hype machine. Mm-hmm. The hype machine. You believe the hype. You know what happens? Tripe. That was the only word I could think of that rhymes with hype. Anyway, what's next?
What's next? We got Garth Brooks in spring training with the Pirates.
Yes. I love these little novelty contracts. I know Russell Wilson's coming in with the Yankees again this year for a week. But yeah, Garth Brooks is coming in. He's going to take some swings. He's going to, I guess, play some songs for the guys and try to distract all the fans from the fact that the team is totally cheaped out and
is it the skinny Garth or the fat Garth?
Oh, you mean, what was it? Chris Gaines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Outlaw Garth, right? Remember Chris Gaines?
Right.
Oh, yeah. He's the DH from Major League. That's basically Chris Gaines, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. He looks kind of chubby in every picture I've seen him in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So
he went, I mean, he got fat and then he got skinny and yeah. I'm not a,
like Oprah.
I don't follow, right. I don't follow Garth Brooks's career much at all.
Since the restraining order.
If ever. So, I don't.
And the Thunder Roll. That's him, right?
He went from being like the most important person on the planet to completely invisible. And now he's back.
Yeah, he was
again.
Like close to catching the Beatles in record sales at a certain point.
Yeah.
The Beatles.
Yeah. And then he just unplugged.
Yeah.
It's like, that's enough. I'm good. I'm happy. Yeah. I made my money.
Yeah.
And then he started touring.
Also,
again.
He basically was just singing the same song over and over again. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. So Frank Robinson passed away last week. Sad day. For baseball. At 83, though, lived a long, healthy life.
Such an important part of baseball.
Huge part. Yeah, huge part. First and only player to win the MVP in both leagues.
Yeah.
And also the first black manager in baseball with the Cleveland Indians in those fire engine red uniforms. I remember watching that opening day. I think it was 1975. And he was, they wore in the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium, and they were dressed in their, you know, head to toe fire engine red uniforms. I'll never forget that, Frank.
Awesome.
That was the game of the week because it was a historic day with Frank Robinson out there. And he played too. So he was a player manager at that time.
Oh, is that right?
I believe so, yeah.
I don't think I knew that, actually.
Yeah, I think he did.
But the guy was a heck of a right handed power. Like, not like your traditional like home run power, but like doubles and home runs. Just what an incredible hitter.
Sweet stroke.
Sweet stroke. You know, it's hard. You don't usually say that about right-handed guys, but he just, you know, now they would say he barrels, right? He really barrels the ball.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the barrel of the bat on the thing with the launch angle and the who's he what's it's.
Right. Yeah, those are the days when it was all about, I mean, when you look back at the footage of games in the 60s in particular, and even into the 70s, there were like bald patches on the diamond and in the outfield. I mean, just there was not as much attention paid to the details of the grounds in which they played.
Plus none of the fields were green. They were all black and white. Right. I've seen the photos, John.
Yes, they were. It was difficult to discern what was a ball and
like, how do you even know what team color is when it's just gray?
Yeah, that's true. But
that's why they say Red Sox.
Right, so people knew the difference.
Oh,
right.
Okay, right. So it's that shade of gray. Got it.
Got it. Right, right. No, but I did have a color TV in 75, so it was...
Okay.
I did see it in color.
Wow, okay.
So,
look at the rich guy on the block.
But I did have one of those 9-inch black and whites in my bedroom. It was sweet.
You had a 9-inch what?
Black and white.
Oh, okay, black yeah. and white. All right.
Let's see. What else we got here? New rules. This is not Bill Maher.
Yeah,
but
I put
MLB.
These all together. These are the new rules that they were kicking around last week and into this week a little bit.
Why don't you walk me through them?
All right. So the MLB and the MLBPA, that's Major League Baseball, and the Major League Baseball Players Association, mm-hmm. have some ideas for how to make the game better. Now, some of these are like intended to get a no vote. And some of them are just like, we kind of thinking about this idea. Let's just put it out there and then we'll kind of give it some, put it to a committee and think about it some more. But anyway, these are the ideas that came from both sides. I don't know really which one came from which, but I think it's pretty self-evident as we go through. And I figure we just go through as a separate segment called... let's call it the seventh inning stretch, John. We're getting towards the end here.
Okay.
This is a seventh inning stretch. It'll be sort of like a discussion of a thing instead of just headlines.
Yeah, sure. We stand up, stretch, and we talk about stuff that's not related.
Yeah, I'm going to do this sitting down, if you don't mind, as I usually do during the seventh inning stretch.
Because
I usually have hot dogs on
my lap.
You don't
think take me out to the ball game?
I do, but at the same time, I don't.
Okay.
At Dodger Stadium, they play it twice, and I think it's weird. And plus, the God Bless America. And look, I have no problem with
blessing. Why would they play it twice?
At Dodger Stadium?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's silly.
Maybe because they don't want to do God Bless America. Because it's L.A. Like, it's all
heathens.
We
do our thing. We're different.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one.
It's like a pagan ritual, for crying out loud.
Sounds like
I'm going to sing God Bless America.
Yeah. So
this is the Hollywood types, for crying out loud.
Number one.
All right. Number one, a 3-batter minimum for pitchers.
I like that.
So when you bring in the pitcher, he's got to face 3 guys. And there's some caveats like, well, if he ends an inning, that's
okay.
Fine. You don't need
if
to
he
face
gets hurt.
3. If he gets hurt. But then there would be a question of like, well, who's hurt? Right.
Well, a line drive to the face might be a good indicator.
But if a guy's just like, you know, Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack, it's like, oh, my arm. Right. I think it's broken.
The hinge. It's broken.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie.
But I like that rule. I'm a fan of the 3-batter minimum. The next rule, and I don't know who came up with this. I assume it was the league. 1 trade deadline.
I love that.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I say, what if we move the trade? What if we split the difference? So there's the end of
July
1
or
and the end
15.
Of August.
Yeah.
And we just say middle of August, mm-hmm. August 15th. Boom.
Yeah.
And it's just 1 deadline. There's no waiver deadline, and there's no Like, that feels like so old-timey. You know, like, oh, we got through the waiver deadline. Right. Ah, okay.
Because most people don't even know what that is, and there's always an explanation to, you know, behind what that means and what do they qualify to play and all that stuff. Yeah, it's kind of
And if we talk about, like, simplifying the game for new fans, right? Like, the trade deadline's an exciting thing, but when you get into a sport and you're like, oh, the trade deadline's coming up, but what trades are going to happen? And then, oh, here it happens. Oh, my team got the players I wanted. Oh, they didn't get. And then it's like, oh, but then there's another trade deadline a month later. Then someone's like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to go watch soccer.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not that extreme. But anyway, next rule. They want to do a draft advantage for winning teams, meaning that there's a penalty for tanking. So, and you and I, in our fantasy baseball league, we actually have this set up that the draft order that we create, first pick in the draft is the team with the best record that didn't make the final
four,
cut,
right?
The top four, the money category, right? Or essentially didn't make the playoffs.
An incentive,
right,
to keep playing through the whole season.
Exactly. And so, like, the last place team winds up with the eighth pick out of 12. Mm-hmm. So I like this. I don't know how you do it, but I think some way to incentivize winning over tanking is a good idea.
One of the things that I...
Then it's like, maybe you will go out and sign Mike Moustakas for $12 million for your team just to make sure you get maybe a couple more wins and get you a slightly better draft pick.
What do you think about that whole, and I don't understand all the details of it, but in European soccer, that you are relegated to the B League. And if you win the B League, you get to move back into the A League. So then you have two leagues that are basically competitive. This has been brought up before, you know, in the past.
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
I like it because it creates meaningful games throughout the league. I think it would be interesting. I don't think they could ever implement it, but for traditional reasons.
That's more the reason why I dismiss it out of hand. Is just like they could just never do that. Like.
But it would make it a more competitive game because you would have teams in the B league, B level, competing to win, versus now where they're like, yeah, who really cares? And you have Derek Jeter out there saying, you know, to reporters yesterday that, you know, I don't know why people think that we're not trying to win. Every day when our team goes out on the field, they're playing to win. Well, of course they're playing to win, but they also realize in the back of their minds the other team is much better than us.
Right.
So. But even the worst teams in baseball still wind up winning 50, you know, plus games.
Yeah.
It's
like 50 games.
Yeah, that's a lot of games.
Yeah.
You lose 100 and whatever, but you still win 50.
There's no reason to drag the Orioles into this conversation, John.
Okay, what's next?
Okay, so the other one they're talking about is roster expansion. They're talking about going to a 26-man roster. Right. That's got to come from the players, right? I'm not totally opposed to going to 26 man just because the game has changed so much, but I would only want that if they implemented the three batter minimum rule, because then I feel like they're just going to make it another relief pitcher, and then we're just going to see more relief pitchers, and I think that's a detriment to the game, the multiple relief pitchers.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
And then the next rule is bringing back major league contracts. That was something they got rid of in the last collective bargaining agreement to entice two-sport amateurs, and I say no.
No. Yeah.
I say raise the amount of money that players can get, sure, but these people who – and I see this on the comment sections of our website and on other websites, and players talk – people talk about the players make too much money. And I couldn't disagree more. The players make as much money as the owners are willing to give them.
Right.
And if that's more money than any of us could even comprehend earning in a lifetime, then good for them. Mm-hmm. That's what they're making.
Right.
So it's not like if the owners don't pay the players that money, then they're going to lower ticket prices. They literally never lower ticket prices.
No, doesn't happen.
And I used to be a proponent of like, no, players are getting too much money. And, you know, the owners have to raise the prices. Like, no, the owners raise the prices because they like profit.
Right. Yeah, I'm.
So
I'm
if you're going to lower ticket prices, then we can talk about players getting a little less money. But frankly, I just don't.
Yeah, I'm a believer.
I know that will never
happen. You get what you can get, and if the owners are willing to pay these huge salaries, then they're willing to pay huge salaries, and you get what you can. So you know, no shame to the players for getting what they can. But I'm in agreement, though, that when the sport tilts towards the older players making more money, when every other sport on the planet pays the youngest superstars the most money, there's something a little bit out of whack with baseball. So bumping up the numbers on the front end was going to get some of these two sports stars to pick baseball over football.
Also, has anyone really thought, like, maybe Kyler Murray just likes football better than
baseball?
Right, and
that's what I think was a big part of it, because he said, it's a sport I played since I was young. It's been in my mind that I was going to play football, and I kind of stumbled into baseball and was good at that, too. So if that's what he wants to do, let him do it. It's not like baseball could have wooed him away if it was ingrained in his mind since he was three that he was going to be a football star. Yeah,
and also, like, he's been playing football for, 12 years.
Right.
Like, it's possible this guy's already got brain damage, which would explain the decision.
There you go.
And, you know, like, hey, if someone was going to say, like, hey, Jed, we want to pay you to write comedy, or Jed, we want to pay you to write drama, I would choose to write comedy.
Right, unless the money was bigger.
Even if the money was bigger, I would just, like, as long as there was money.
Right, so there you have it. That's Kyler Murray's decision right there.
Yeah.
He likes comedy writing.
Though there's literally no brain damage that can be caused from comedy writing.
All that pacing?
However, you do tend to need brain damage in order to do comedy writing.
So you start out with a little bit of an affliction.
Yeah.
There you go. And you build from there.
All comedy comes from a dark place, man. Right. That's the one thing you know when you write comedy.
So the next one, I wonder who came up with this one. Number 6.
Oh, a 20-second pitch clock.
Yeah, that would be the league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I know that from what I've seen online, like, fans are super into this idea.
I'm not.
Like, I'm not into it, but, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, John, the surveys I saw, the polls I saw, this had one of the highest positivity ratings was for this step.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, I just feel like baseball is quick. It's quick enough.
It's a rhythm game. Yeah. You can't if you try to speed. I don't.
These aren't free throws. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, at the same time, you know, in college basketball back in the 70s, when Dean Smith used to run the four corners, and there would be final scores of 14-6, that was no fun. So it's like, let's throw in that 24-second clock or whatever.
And if this had any effect on that, then, no, I don't care. They're talking about possibly even lowering the mound. That wasn't even one of the things in here. But, like, to get rid of some of the strikeouts, because the higher up the mound is,
right,
the more likely there be a strikeout. Because maybe there's too many strikeouts in the game because players are uppercutting more because of launch angle.
Underhand pitching.
And here's the thing. Like, leave the mound where it is. I like the idea of putting a 20-second clock or 25-second clock in the minor leagues.
Right. Let the conditioning happen there.
Yeah, let them move quickly.
I agree with that.
100%. How awful would it be if you're watching a playoff game and the umpire calls a ball on a pitcher because he took 22 seconds?
Right.
When it's like, this is the playoffs. This is for all the for all the marbles and all the shenanigans and all the hoopla and the celebrations. You're telling me it's like 20 seconds, you got to throw it? What is it, light up big and red like in basketball?
Right,
like,
right. No, I like the idea of doing it in the lower levels. Do it in high school. Do it in college. Do it in the minor leagues so that they're conditioned so that when they come up to the major leagues, they're not going to be like, oh, I got all the time in the world. They're going to be in a routine. They're going to have their rhythm. They're going to stay in that rhythm. I like that idea much, much better.
Yeah.
Number 7 on the
next
list.
Next one, number 7, number 1 in my heart. Universal designated hitter.
It's coming.
You need to brace for it. It's sort of like the UFO thing, right? Like the aliens thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we all know there's aliens.
Right.
We all know there's UFOs. Everyone just has to, like, get used to the idea before they really drop the hammer that, P.S., the Vice President of the United States is actually from another planet. Not this one in particular, but I'm just saying when it gets announced.
When it happens, right. Right. Yeah. It's going to happen. That will speed up the game in itself right there. You'll see faster games because there won't be the double switches and, all that stuff going on in the middle of games and, moving, swapping a pitcher out and, all of that stuff is going to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
So, or that will speed up the game. I'm not talking by 20, 30 minutes. It might speed up the game by, you know, a handful of minutes here and there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that those are the bigger things, those the mound visits and the strategy sessions. And the, but, it, you know, you go back 20 years, it didn't happen. They still played games in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I mean, I love the DH. I love the DH in both leagues. I used to be like, I like that they're both different. But then it just when they started doing interleague, it's just like, this is stupid.
Right. Once the interleague thing, it makes much more sense to go all in. Not a fan of it, but I get it.
Also, it's better for players. And frankly, I'm
strategy
part
goes
of the
out
Jed
the door
Rigney's
a little
Green
bit.
New Deal.
But it's okay. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, a little strategy goes out. Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's okay. I think we're going in that direction, and can't stop progress.
That's right. Can't stop, won't stop.
Right. And we did talk about the study to lower the mound. So that's it's just a study, but it's not really a.
Yeah, it's not a rule per se. It's just a.
I think that will never ever happen. It's not like, you know, they're it's just not going to happen.
Yeah,
I think the batters need to learn how to bunt. That's what I think needs to happen. Okay,
or go the other way or whatever.
Starting nine.
Yeah,
it's time.
It's time,
and it's for Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
what do you have?
Okay, I got player names. Major League Baseball player names with rom-com movie titles.
Okay. This could be fun.
This is going to be a good one.
Okay. I'm ready.
Maybe the best rom-com of all time, When Harry Met Sally. Mm-hmm. What about When Harry Met Sal Perez?
You usually leave the best one for last. That was good. I thought it was going to be a double there, a twofer. But
no,
that was much better.
Simple. Sometimes the simplest ones are the best ones. Next one. Some people think this is a terrible romantic comedy. Other people think that it's not as terrible as that. Shinsu Love Actually.
How did I know? I knew that was going to be the movie. I knew that was going to be it. Okay.
Well, it's a divisive film because some people are like, oh no, it's fine, it's harmless fun, and other people are like, no, it is so bad and banal and kind of misogynistic and hashtag me too that it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like no one thinks it's like a well, I guess some people think it's a great film.
It's an enjoyable film. I'm in the enjoyable camp.
But it's an enjoyable film, especially around the holidays.
Watch it every year, except for this year, for some reason.
Was it Bill Nighy?
Bill Nighy, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Bill Nighy killing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
All right. Next one. Next rom-com player name, John Sleep Lester in Seattle.
There you go. That's a good one.
Next, Brandon Pretty Workman. Brandon Workman.
That was good. There.
This is one of my favorite films of all time. Is it the best romantic comedy of all time? Probably not, but it's my favorite. And that's Chris Sale Anything.
Okay. Okay. That's up there.
Yeah.
That's up there.
I mean, it used to be for me like top five. Mm-hmm. Like when I write Cameron Crowe's early work, you know, pre-Elizabethtown, and whatever else he's put out since then,
mm-hmm.
just some of the finest, you know, dramatic, comedic tie-in things, multi-layered rewatchables. Say Anything. Next one, Michael Confort to Weddings and a Funeral.
That's good. That good. Yeah, that's up there too.
Here's the thing about that movie. That is actually. Those are the two worst lead characters in a rom-com, I think, and of all the great rom-coms. Those are the two worst characters. Not the acting, but the actual. If you look at their actual behavior,
mm-hmm.
those are the two worst mm-hmm. characters. The supporting cast in that film carries the whole thing.
Yeah.
It is magnificent. Yeah. And then you just have these two terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
Andy McDowell's character and Hugh McGuffin,
right.
Hugh Grant.
Grant.
I don't know where McGuffin comes from. Anyway, and just
you're gonna get letters.
Just bad people. Like just just all the way through bad people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like, the guy is getting married to a woman is like, you know what? No, I just can't do it because this other girl just showed up again.
Right, right.
Who, by the way, married some old guy and was like, while she was getting married, was banging Hugh Grant. Come on. Also, like, I don't want to slut shame anyone, but this girl was keeping herself occupado in the sheets. Right, you know what I mean? Right. Like, let's slow it down a little bit.
Long list.
It's not a race, okay?
Right, right. You have plenty of
prizes are like gonorrhea. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not going away.
Well,
maybe,
you know, yeah.
What else?
All right. Next is My Big Tommy Pham Greek Wedding.
There we go. That's good.
How to lose Brandon Geyer in 10 days.
Oh, another treasure. That one's great. The first one and that one, those are great.
Now, here's the thing about How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I've seen this movie now 1.5 times,
mm-hmm.
which is easily 3 times too many. The film itself is a decent premise, but what I think happened was I think someone came up with an idea for a film, and then they were like, no, it's not enough. We need to raise the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this term in Hollywood, but it's the most annoying thing that suits add to films,
mm-hmm.
is they say, no, we need to raise the stakes.
Right.
Normally, if you have someone like a great screenwriter, they can raise the stakes. They can help you elevate the story, push the, you know, all the tension of the film. But if a suit does it, they're basically just saying, we want you to make it like this other film.
Right.
And what they do with this film is it's actually two films happening at the same time, and it is awful, and it doesn't make any sense, like, at all, and there's no real point in trying to, like, oh, well, here's the plot. Like, this, like, they're like, no, it's not a plot, it's just a sequence of events that is tied together loosely, by the way. Mm-hmm. Loosely. Also, Kate Hudson, we know she can act. We've seen Almost Famous. Shout out to Cameron Crowe again.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to do some work every now and then. I will say she was not bad in Deepwater Horizon.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Limited role for her, mm-hmm. supporting role. It's a solid film, you know, Marky Mark right. and the Funky Bunch got all together right. and the tanker exploded mm-hmm. or whatever. Solid. You know, it's a Peter Berg film, right?
Right.
Like, no one's ever going to watch a Peter Berg film and go like, wow, I think film is now different.
Right.
It's like, they're like, well, that film was made.
It's bankable.
Yeah, like, he knows how to make a film that tells a story.
Right. That's the goal.
Like, you know, remember that line in Beautiful Girls where he's talking about his girlfriend and it's like, well, how good looking is she? He's like, well, she's a good solid 7.5.
Right.
And Peter Berg is a good solid 7.5.
Right.
He'll never give you a 5. Well, I think Battleship was his, right? That was kind of a 5. But anyway, he's right in that 7.5 territory. Never a 10. Not usually below 5, but just got a good solid 7.5. What are we talking about now? Right, Next Player. One of my favorite romantic comedies. Maybe the best written romantic comedy, but that's because it's written by a playwright. And that is Moonstruck. And for Moonstruck, I have Kyle Moonstrucker.
Okay, good. Moonstrucker. Yeah, yes. Very, I would, top-notch film.
Yeah.
Top notch.
John Patrick Shanley wrote that, who then went on to write and direct my favorite film of all time, Joe Versus a Volcano.
Seriously?
Which isn't a romantic comedy, but it has some romantic.
It's your favorite film of all time.
It is basically goes like this. Joe Versus the Volcano, and then it's like a 1,000-foot drop, and then it's like all the other great films.
Okay.
Raising Arizona,
mm-hmm.
History of the World Part 1 by Mel Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Shawshank's in there, but I've seen the film over 100 times.
Seriously.
It is spectacular storytelling.
And I was like, this film is all over the place.
Here's the thing. It didn't read well with a lot of people, but sort of like, afterwards, people have started to come around about the actual genius of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, it's one of those things where, like, Roger Ebert was one of the first people before he passed away and lost his jaw and all that stuff. But But before he, like, this is one of the films where he started championing it. Like, no, go back and watch this film. It's actually totally amazing. My parents said the same thing. They thought it was horrifying. They thought it was terrible. And they were like, oh my God, our son thinks this film is great. This is one of the worst films we've ever seen. And I was like, no, watch it again. But you have to sort of like, it's not a comedy. It's not a Tom Hanks comedy. Mm-hmm. But if you sit down to watch a Tom Hanks comedy, like The Man with One Red Shoe or Big,
right.
Like you're not going to be in the right mood for this film. It is a nearly perfect film with a message and symbology and cinematography and storytelling things that are multi-layered and absolutely genius.
Wow. I have to watch that again.
That's not to say it's the best film ever made, because it's just my favorite.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, it's
okay.
That's because it's amazing. Next one. The 40-year-old Justin Verginder.
That was good. Hysterical movie.
Very funny movie, right? Oh, man.
Not very PC, so but very funny.
No, probably couldn't make it now, no. But so good. Next one, Bridget Adam Jones's Diary. Mm-hmm. Oh, that should have put that up at the top, right? That's usually I usually lead off with that.
That was good, though.
And next one, maybe the best high school comedy rom-com as metaphor for real life. 10 Things I Hate About You, Darvish.
And that's a good film.
Yeah, that's
solid, good film. Heath Ledger is really good.
Yes, rest in peace.
Rest in pieces. So that's it?
That's it. That's all.
That's good. That was the longest starting nine.
How can I leave any of those films out, though, John?
No, they were all great.
I was going to leave How to Lose Brandon Geyer in 10 Days. I was going to leave that off, but I had to make a point about how terrible the writing is in that film.
I haven't seen that
one. And why it's terrible. Don't bother watching it, John. Okay. You will hate every minute of it.
Okay.
If you want to watch a solid rom-com with, this is like the most rom, well, you know what? It's Valentine's Day, man. Let's go crazy.
Yeah.
A solid rom-com with Matthew McConaughey, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a solid. He is delightful. And what's her name? The Ben Affleck's ex-wife, Jennifer Garner. Mm-hmm. Normally, I can't stand her,
yeah,
but she
I'm
is a perfect fit. She is a perfect fit in this film. It works.
Okay.
Michael Douglas has a little cameo in it. It's perfect.
We'll put it on the list.
It's almost too perfect, but that's a really good Matthew McConaughey rom-com. Because he's not really like a rom-com kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not... He doesn't strike me as the sort that would literally ever have, like, end up with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it's sort of the premise of the film, so it works.
Okay. There you have it. Starting 9 for Valentine's Day.
This is more like a starting 13.
Okay, let's move on to extra innings and take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. So there's basketball, the trade deadline, and nothing really big happened. It was kind of like a wah-wah type of thing.
Yeah, there were some nice moves.
But yeah,
there were some
big.
Good things. But the big thing was, and we talked about this, what I guess it was 2 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Anthony Davis was on the block,
mm-hmm.
right?
The brow.
And then basically what happened was because the Pelicans felt they had been wronged by the Lakers, making... you know, inferences that they wanted Anthony Davis. The Pelicans, basically, every time the Lakers would sort of mention a player in their discussions, they would leak it to the press.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, so all of these players were, like, being told that they were in trade talks when the Lakers are just trying to keep it hush-hush. And frankly, I think if you're trading players, you keep it hush-hush. But apparently the Pelicans were just, like, leaking everything as, like, this revenge thing to, like, try to mess with the Lakers players and the team. And it became this whole sort of, like, you know, Magic Johnson getting interviewed with it. He's gnashing his teeth about it. He's clearly very angry at the Pelicans, who basically were jerking him around and weren't really planning on trading Anthony Davis to the Lakers, but just kind of, like, wanted to make him put everyone out there. Like, and it's just like a weird move too. Like, what are you gaining as the Pelicans? Are they just like, I don't know, maybe that's just something to do, you know?
Bunch of jerks.
Kind of a jerk move. Yeah. But, of course, no one really cares because it's the Lakers, right?
Yeah, like, they're like, good.
Like, oh, someone screwed over the Patriots. Too bad.
Yeah, too bad. So, finally, after months and months of waiting to hear this, Antonio Brown has demanded his trade from the Steelers.
Yeah.
So, big surprise there.
Do you know what I don't know why he's demanding a trade. Is it that he is scoring? He doesn't like Ben Roethlisberger, or
I really don't know the team. I think some of it was financial because his guaranteed money was gone, and he wanted to renegotiate, and they wouldn't renegotiate, or whatever,
I see.
Something like that. So he just it's and there's more and more of that because you know, there's only a certain amount of money that's guaranteed with NFL contracts.
Yeah.
So that might have been. And the Steelers are known for their difficult, challenging contract negotiations as well. So,
yeah,
and he's 30 years old. It's not like he's young. He had 9 seasons in Pittsburgh, and you know he's still got years left. But you know he basically had a half season, well, not a half season, but a lot of time off this year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm anticlimactic to a certain degree.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the Pittsburgh would never trade him to the Patriots.
No.
But would be kind of cool to see Antonio Brown doing a late Randy Moss
right.
on Patriots thing yeah. for Brady's last couple of years.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
And we did not speak of the Super Bowl because we didn't have a show last week. You must be very happy.
Here's the thing, John. I didn't watch it.
No.
I didn't watch it. No. I was... As a Patriots fan, I just was like, and I think when I can get to the point where I just literally don't care whether they win or lose, that's when the league needs to step in and just say, you know what?
Somebody
you
else.
Just can't go to the Super Bowl for a few more years, Patriots.
Right. You didn't miss much. You know, if you love defense, there was the first half is kind of like a feeling out type of thing. The second half, the defense was really, really good. It just was it was a defensive battle, which – fans of the day, especially people who watch the Super Bowl, are not looking for that because people who watch the Super Bowl usually don't watch any other football other than the Super Bowl. And they're like, I thought this was going to be a high-scoring game. So from that point of view, it was a big surprise. And it wasn't like this. The Patriots were one of the most dominant defensive teams in the league.
Right. It did feel a little, in watching the highlights, it did, and looking at the numbers, it did feel a little choky by the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. You got the Patriots, like, this is the 9th Super Bowl in the last 15, 16 years, and this is the Rams' first Super Bowl since,
they didn't adjust.
What, the 80s?
They didn't adjust. No, like,
Were the players even born?
No.
Oh, no, that's right. They haven't the last Rams Super Bowl since since the Patriots won.
Yeah. The last time they played.
Well, for the L.A. Rams. And, like, do those teams even count? Is there anyone in the league still that was on that Rams team?
No.
Probably not.
No. I don't think so.
Because really, it's just Brady's that's left from that year.
Right, he's the only one still kicking, I think, from that season.
Yeah.
Probably.
Eating fresh beets and
celery
juice and whatever it is that he does. Goes crazy. He'll have some cantaloupe.
Right. And his endless watching of Love Actually.
Yes.
Keeps him young. El Chapo found guilty. All accounts.
Yeah,
he pled not guilty to all accounts and found guilty on all accounts.
You know what would have been a baller move is to plead guilty to a couple of the charges and then not guilty to the rest.
Right.
Like, just confuse everybody.
Right. All the murders, and that wasn't me.
Yeah. Now, did you see some of the evidence they had? They were they had gotten into his mistress's phones.
Mm-mm.
And by the way, if you're committing crimes, just don't use your phone.
Right.
John?
Yeah. Crimes.
Especially down to where you are. You know what I'm talking about with your your organic farm that you're wink, wink.
Funny.
It's pretty great. Yeah. But apparently the way it all turned on this guy was they had set up this high-tech IT deal where they were doing encrypted this and encrypted that. And the feds got to the guy who set up the IT.
Hmm.
And they basically were like, hey, you got to assume it was you go to jail forever or you give us the passwords.
So they knew where he was at all
times. So they knew everything.
Yeah.
So it was he went in and said not guilty, but it was okay, we just have everything. Anyway, brought to justice,
Right.
I guess. I don't know. Probably do more crimes in jail and whatever, because that's how they do it. I've seen Goodfellas.
I have no idea about this next one. Katy Perry's shoes pulled after blackface backlash. What happened with that?
Right. So I don't know if you've been paying attention to politics, but there's been some Democrats in Virginia who've had some photos and some experiences resurface involving blackface. And it's a strange thing because, you know, obviously you can't do that now, but it's a gray area, right? Like Jimmy Kimmel did blackface, comedians do black have done blackface up until very recently. And the governor in Virginia had done blackface in college, in medical school. And,
right.
Or maybe he was the guy in the KKK hood. Hard to tell, right? And so it's like, you know, there's all this sensitivity to it. And, of course, you should be sensitive and racially whatever. There was a Republican in Florida lost his job because of a blackface incident. So it was sort of like, oh, so if a Republican lost his job, shouldn't the Democrat? But like, yeah, the Democrats, maybe not this time. Anyway, next up, Katy Perry's got a new fashion line came out, including some shoes that, here's the thing. It basically, there's like some shoes with a face kind of on it with like eyeballs and nose and a mouth. And if no one tells you it looks like blackface, you wouldn't think, oh, these look like blackface. These are just stupid shoes, right? But as soon as someone says it looks like blackface,
it's all over the place.
John, it looks like blackface. Right. Like, that's all it looks like. It looks so racially awful. Like, it's that, was it Sambo's? Remember
right.
that?
Oh, sure. Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, like, it looks exactly like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So there was a bad call on Katy Perry.
A line of clothes that were pulled by some fashion house, big fashion house, because it was like a sweater that had a turtleneck that went up over your face and covered your nose, but had a mouth. And it was a top line. I mean, I don't remember who it was, but it was some top fashion house that they had to pull it.
Yeah. I don't pretend I know the answer to all these sensitivities, the disabled list, the blackface, of how you deal with someone who did blackface 30 years ago
right.
and then spent his life like supporting African Americans like the governor of Virginia appears to have been, but like, ew.
But apparently
it's weird.
Party,
I'm just glad I've never
party
done blackface.
Your ass off in college and get on the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah, exactly. What's wrong? But here's the thing.
Let's
look.
Let it slide.
We got to hold the standard to both sides. Right. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I agree.
And by that, I mean, who cares? Doesn't matter. When people are in college, let them be college. When people are teenagers, let's leave these teenagers alone, for crying out loud.
Oh, but the...
life is hard enough.
The people who are all gaslit over this stuff will be like, well, that's what their most impressionable age is. They shouldn't be doing those things.
Right, let's teach. And we should punish them for the rest of their lives.
Right.
You see this thing that Trump had on at the State of the Union, they had... some kid whose last name is Trump had been bullied in school, and they actually had to take him out of school, put him in another school. Then they homeschooled him, and then he got put in another school, and they're getting bullied at the other school. So we had him on as like, hey, we're going to – this kid, you know, he's a good kid, and we're going to – anyway. So then ABC News ran a photo of the kid having fallen asleep during the State of the Union. And I'm like, ABC, what are you doing? You're bullying this kid.
Right. Wow.
Let's dial it back. He's there specifically because of bullying, and you're going to put this out there? You're telling me the guy's not going to go back to school and people are going to make fun of him for falling asleep?
Right.
Come on.
That's worse probably than anything he's received so far.
Yeesh.
Yeesh. So last but not least, the Academy of Art, Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences has released that they will not be awarding cinematography and film editing honors during the broadcast. Instead, they will be doing that during the commercial breaks. I think
so
that's
crazy.
Ridiculous.
So crazy. There, I could think of a dozen awards you should get rid of before you get rid of cinematography.
Right.
Like, it's literally the foundation of
everything
filmmaking.
That, I mean, to me, those are big deals. And when you're watching,
you could
a film.
Make a film without sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And still, you would need cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
You could make a film without actors. You could make a film without a script, without a director. The only constant of all film is cinematography.
Right, right. It's the process, right? Yeah, that makes no sense to me. Those two are those two technical awards are probably the most important to me, and I look forward to seeing those honored at the awards. So yeah, I'm
those are the people who should be honored at events like this.
Right.
Like the people otherwise that what the actors are getting, they already get honored all the time.
Constantly. Right.
Just it's constant praise for these people. Yeah. You know who doesn't get constant praise? Cinematographers and editors. Right.
And some of them are okay with it, you know, they'd rather, you know, just stick to their craft, but it's still nice to be awarded in prime time around the globe and get recognized for your work.
Yeah. I mean, they'll get the awards, but it just, I always like seeing, you know, that's when I'm looking, I don't watch the awards anymore, but I always look to see who won that. But if you're going to be giving out awards for this art form, like, let's not take out two of the most important aspects of the art form.
Yeah, I'm complete agreement with you on that one. So what's coming up next?
Find out if Manny Machado will find a team that's a perfect match in the rom-com Baseball Springs Eternal.